Hello, my friends, it's Andy and Hendy coming to you live from Yorba Linda, California for the Living Fearless Devotional.
A production of ResurrectMinistry.com, harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel as far and wide as we possibly can. We encourage you to check out the website for resources on your walk with Christ. Whether you are new to the faith or a seasoned saint, hopefully you'll find some content that is useful for you, and we love to hear from you. Drop us a line, send us a comment, whether it is a praise report, a prayer request, or just to say hi. And if you care to partner with this ministry, you can click the Donate Now button. I'd like to give a particular shout out to all of the amazing, wonderful people that contribute to us. We're so grateful for your support, and thank you. God bless you.
Yes. Go to ResurrectMinistry.com right there. All right. And make sure while you are watching, you comment. Let us know what it is you think about our topic. If you have any scripture that you want to add to it, or if you have just anything else you want to talk to, just make sure and put in the comment. The more comments, the better. That helps other people see our broadcast. And then if you have any prayer requests, make sure and list those in the chat too. And at the end of the show, we end in prayer, and we will include your prayer request to go out to the billions of people that watch our show. If you want Eddie's book, which is, I'm using it as a kosher right now.
Thanks.
There's a book right here. You go to Eddie'sbook.com, Eddie'sbook.com, and that will take you to the place on Amazon where you can buy it. And then after you buy it, leave a review. Make sure you put 5 stars. Anything less than that, just email us. we only accept 5 stars on that thing. And make sure and follow our sponsors. We got LifeWise. Go to livelifewise.tv. Great products from a Christian-run company. And they have a bunch of new products. They even have a new serum for the face.
Oh.
To make you young. They just came out with that.
Wow.
And they're going to have a weight loss program. I'm not sure if you call it, supposed to call it weight loss. Weight management.
Oh.
There's something you're supposed to call it because you can't guarantee loss. But it is... all coming new to LifeWise. So go to livelifewise.tv, and you can try it out for 30 days. And if you don't like it, you just send it back. It's easy. Send it back an empty container. And then StreamYard. Go to getstreamyardnow.com. That's what we use to go live to you. And as you can see, we even changed our background. Hedy, I went to the, I wanted to say BRC, but that's a
NRB.
Burrito. The NRB, where you saw all kinds of things and thought, you know what, let's change our background.
Yes.
Make it a little bit more professional. So this is what we have for now. It may change from time to time as we figure out what it is we want for the background, but let us know what you think about our new background. It kind of screams Living Fearless Devotional, or Inga,
sure
Inga Fearless. All right. And our topic today is prayer is not enough.
Yep.
And here I thought just praying was all I needed to do. It used to be that I just thought I needed to go to church on Sunday and that was it.
Right? Guess what? Not any one thing is enough.
You have to be well-rounded.
Yes, you got to be a good and faithful Christian. That's what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Christ.
Oh.
So can we address, before we get to our topic, I'd like to address the issue of Lent.
All right.
Can we do that?
Sure.
I was researching to do a devotional on Lent, and before we did it, I was planning it for today, and then last night, I just asked Pastor Bob after church, I said, you know what, why don't we celebrate Lent? I wanted to understand the evangelical perspective on, you know, it seems like so many people celebrate it, and what was the reason that we don't? And he gave me a really helpful answer that I thought I would share with you. So he said, first of all, we don't do anything explicitly. We don't put it as a demand on ourselves unless it is in the Bible. So we obey the Lord's. If you love me, obey my commands. Mm-hmm. So if it's a command in the Bible, we follow it. If it's not, then it's voluntary. And he said, if you remember the relationship Jesus had with the Pharisees, they were constantly trying to catch him in a mistake. And basically, a lot of it had to do with the Sabbath, right? That he was working on the Sabbath, that he was healing on the Sabbath. And Jesus would like purposely go around looking for people to heal on the Sabbath so that he could make the point to them that you that you create all these burdens on yourself. Was the Sabbath made for man or man made for the Sabbath, that the Lord says? And he says that basically their overemphasis on the details they created to back up their interpretation of scripture put such a burden on man that God never intended. So he says the problem is making things mandatory that are not mandatory. So the Catholic Church has so many rituals and sacraments that they put on an individual, some of which they say are obligatory to go to heaven. And he says, we just try to steer away from that. Does that mean you shouldn't pray during the period of 40 days before Easter? No. Does that mean you can't fast? No. But he's saying once you put it on yourself that I must do, you know, prayer, fasting, giving up something. Me and Andy were going to give up chocolate. I'm giving up something that you love because this is the period of Lent. He says then that becomes a burden. If you're burdening yourself or troubling yourself in a way in which the Lord did not put on you, then that's just extra and could lead to just feeling overwhelmed. And I love chocolate, so I was quick to to recall that commandment.
I was so happy to hear that.
Yeah. Oh, and the funny thing is I originally wanted to give up beef, meat. And my daughter said, absolutely not, Mom. You will terrorize us. You already don't eat anything. And you're not going to eat fish for 40 days. And I love how reasonable my daughter is. How one, how well she knows me. And two, how level-headed she can be sometimes. And I was like, you know what?
That was actually self-preservation, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, but still, but her argument was reasonable. Like, you don't eat anything, and you're just going to terrorize the rest of us being miserable. You're going to be miserable, Mom. You don't like fish enough to eat it for 40 days. I was like, you are absolutely correct, daughter. So.
Well, I wanted to say hi to Diane Bell. I haven't seen Diane Bell in a long time. She was the very first person I met when I would begin going down to San Diego to these many events about marketing and how to write your book and becoming a best-selling author, that kind of stuff.
Oh,
years
cool.
ago, I was there all alone. I was homeless. And
I married a homeless man.
Essentially, I was homeless for a couple of days in San Diego because I didn't have enough money to attend this conference. And so I had to sleep in my car at the conference.
I remember.
And I met Diane there and her husband. They were fantastic. They just said, you look like you need a friend.
Oh.
And they were great. So hopefully she's still watching. Oh, she says, hi there. Great to see you, Diane. She had this red cowboy hat that she had as her signature, was a red cowboy hat.
I love it.
And a beautiful woman. I just love those guys. Miss seeing them all. All right. So prayer is not enough.
Prayer is not enough.
Well, at least I've started praying. I mean,
which is good because a lot of people. So this commentary opens up with a lot of people think that they could just pray and that's enough. But the way they describe it is you throw up prayers. So in other words, you're like, you pray over your food, you ask God for things, you definitely cry out when you're in trouble. And that's the extent of their reliance on Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so the premise is you can't, that's not enough. That's not enough for your walk. So well, you
hopefully some of those other things I was doing because I was not that great at praying. I would say hi to God every so often in the morning. Hi, God.
Right.
And then I've just.
That's a whole nother topic.
Yeah.
The intensity of prayers.
Or I pray when I used to have a hangover. God, please don't let me. Ever
Right.
Yeah. That was in the morning. And then by the evening, I forgot that whole prayer.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Don't we all?
That's about it. So in addition to talking to God, we also need to listen to him.
Exactly.
Which is another key thing that I've just learned about.
It's not a one-way communication. And the example here is, can you imagine that all you do is a one-way conversation? Imagine talking to a friend on the phone and they do all the talking. You're not allowed to interject. And then you hang up the phone.
Oh, I've had a friend like that.
Right? Don't we all? It's how annoying is it though? So can you imagine that you're talking to God and he has all these things that he wants to say to you and you're just like, okay, bye. Can I have a good day? I'm really tired, God. I can you just have a good day. Bye. That's only half a conversation. And most importantly is the scripture here. All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. Is that how do we listen to him? So it's not just sitting in meditation as we pray and trying to listen to the voice of God, but it's reading his word, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to be reading so that we could hear from the Lord. And it says, you know, so that our next scripture from John 14:15 is Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, if you love me, keep my commands. Well, how are you going to keep his commands if you don't know what the commands are?
Reading the book.
You're reading the Bible, exactly. But if you don't read, so if you're not letting God speak to you, then you won't know what the commandments are that you're supposed to be obeying because you love Jesus.
You just hope the pastor's going to talk about it at some point.
Well, yeah. Well, we know how that goes.
So can we?
Oh, yeah, please.
Go ahead. So can we go back to just listening?
Listening. When you're not reading? Or yeah. Even while you're reading?
Yeah, just separate okay. From reading the book and hearing from his word as you're reading it, that developing, I hope this is safe to say, I'm struggling because I don't want to say the wrong thing, but developing the skill to listen to the Holy Spirit, developing the skill to hearing from God throughout your day. Stopping and praying and say, you know, can you just give me direction, God? I need help with this. I'm struggling with this. And then you truly have to learn to listen because he doesn't speak loudly.
Right.
You know, every so often he'll kick you in the head or, you know, cause something to fall on your head. But it's listening for those directions, I think, becomes a skill where you have to learn to sit quietly and then develop that skill of listening. It's almost like somebody who becomes blind, you know, their hearing becomes sharper because you're no longer using your eyes to navigate through life. You learn to use your touch and your hearing. I think for a Christian, you have to do that too. You have to
become absolutely
blind to the distractions of life and shut everything out and then learn to listen.
Absolutely. And we pray, you know, as the book of James says, we pray without ceasing. Mm. So just constantly wanting to be in the presence of the Lord and having him in our consciousness. So oftentimes people will ask me, okay, you hear from the Lord. How do you hear? I don't hear. I don't think I hear. I don't hear. I don't know what I'm hearing. Mm. And this one girl in particular, you know, one of my friends that's a new believer, she's like, I just don't think I hear him. And she's debating about this young man that she's interested in. And she's going through the pros and cons. Well, this, but that, but this, but that. And I remember so well being in that position, like talking to Mariama or Nagin and being like, so I met this guy and you run through this, like, these are all the great things about him, but I'm a little worried. And I keep telling her, just as the ladies told me, wait on the Lord. He will make it clear. He's not a God of confusion. He's a God of clarity. He will provide wisdom. Keep waiting. If you don't hear, it's not because you do not know how to hear yet. It may be because he hasn't spoken. And oftentimes people are impatient and don't want to wait until he speaks. So this same woman said to me 2 days ago, I heard. She mm-hmm. said, I was in my prayer closet praying and I heard the Lord say, you must depart from him. And I was like, glory to God. I told you would hear. I was like, I know for a fact you are so faithful and you are so on fire for the Lord. He will tell you. He will not leave you in the dark. Because, and the only way I could say this in hindsight is with wisdom, because I had that experience with you. It was without a shadow of a doubt. All the other times, once you hear with clarity, all the other times become clear they were not from him.
Right.
And so I really, really encourage you as you're waiting on the Lord for something is to be patient and to actually wait until you get a very, very clear sign, especially when it's a major decision.
Sounds
Should
good.
We say hi to our friends?
Yep. Oh,
yes.
Take the words
hi, ladies. Hi, Kelly. Long time no see. Hi, Kathy. Hello, Pecan Carrie.
Has it been over a week since we've been on?
At least. I think it's been like 10 days.
Oh, wow. We were all out and about. So
yes.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
We warned them.
It's athletic season, but besides the conference in the NRB, which I'll talk a little bit about at the end, but both of our kids are in sports. So every time we're like, okay, what about Tuesday night? We're like, oh, Kelly's got a game. Oh, Zara's got a match. And so.
And then you're in Dallas.
Yes.
And then you go back to Dallas.
And I go back to Dallas. Luckily, I do not get shot by an active shooter in Dallas.
Yes.
That was a whole other point of hysteria.
And then I was in Arizona.
Right.
So it's just, we were just not able to get back on until today. But a lot of amazing things happened while you were gone. You were on a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
Did we miss anybody?
No, they're saying hi to each other.
Hello. All right. So now back to the show. oops. I don't like doing that.
Yeah.
Psalm 119 to 119, 105. The word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path.
So again, the value of being in the word is that, as we said, it'll light your path. It is the way in which God speaks to us and constantly inspiring us, guiding us, motivating us, and keeping us close to him. And that's why it's an analogy of a lamp to light the way in the
darkness.
Where
I have that kind of experience is during COVID, when I said I can't take church that I'm going to, I can't take the nonsense that was going on, like closing down was one of those things. There were a couple. And how I found Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. Now, it wasn't dark, and then there wasn't like this light that was shining, and I followed the light to Chino Hills. It was just that I was told to move and to go. And I woke up on a Sunday, got in my car, and
go, go, go.
And just drove there. And I'd never been there before. I had no idea where it was. I'd never heard of it before. And I to this day, I cannot remember even how I knew to go there.
Heather. Was it Heather? Isn't that the first, what's his face's mom?
No.
That used to go.
I told her about it.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of I was shown which way to go.
Isn't that awesome?
And I don't know if it's the same type of analogy, but I think it to me it is.
Yeah.
Is it? I was here, and he said, "Go to Chino Hills, and you'll just find it. I will show you how to get there," and given that direction, it is. It's pretty miraculous. So many. I hate to say this far too often, probably, but COVID was the best time ever. So many great things for me happened, for us happened during COVID.
Yes.
It was one of the best times of my life. I really.
Not that it was easy, folks.
And those of you that lost people during COVID, died. I almost died during COVID. But it was spectacular in all the nonsense that went on.
So cool. So our next one, the Lord can use us in answer to other people's prayers.
Wait, what?
Yes, I love this one. So prayer is extremely important as a way for us to intercede for people we know. So whether it's missionaries or our global brothers and sisters in Christ that are suffering, people that have physical needs. But the expression this author wrote is, if we solely focus on what we do when we bend our heads or kneel, then we miss what God may be calling us to do with our hands and feet. So the Lord often answers prayer through other believers as they willingly submit to him. So we can be the answer to other people's prayers if we listen and take action. So it's not just, oh, the poor suffering people and the homeless. Like I have, for example, the unborn. So many people have recently been participating in the prayer walks and the Love Life movement. So it's like, if you just sit and you're praying for, I have a heart, I have a passion for the unborn, I want to do something. Don't be surprised when the Lord then inspires you and says, okay, go on that prayer walk, or donate to this organization, or start volunteering at Love Life, that our prayer is supposed to spur us into action. It's not just keeping our hands cupped and then doing nothing about it. And so I had a really cool example of that. And I'm going to be somewhat cryptic because I don't want to be too specific about the person, but I was just praying. I was just praying for people, life, and I was just sitting talking to God. And I get this instruction from God to start a working relationship with somebody that I knew tangentially, but he basically instructs me to create a working relationship with this person and says to me, not like, oh my God, it's going to open the sky and the moon for you, but I want you to bless her. And I was like, that is a strange instruction.
I remember that day.
You remember?
Yep.
I was like, I told Andy, I said, I don't know what's going to come of this, but the Lord said, bless her. It was as simple as that. It wasn't, and the weird thing is to use a business relationship to bless someone. That's what was kind of weird to me. Hmm. And so it is, so I listened, I obeyed, and it wasn't a small thing. It was a large thing.
And how long ago was it?
2.5 months ago.
Okay, 2.5 months ago.
So I'm at NRB hanging out with our peeps, and I find out that this person that the Lord wanted me to bless had a ginormous tree fall on their house and destroy a portion of their house. And the insurance money did not cover all of the damage. And it was honestly one of the most glorious moments of my life to hear that, because I was like, wow, I did not imagine hearing him. And it was just so beautiful to get the wisdom behind that. Like the Lord was clearly, and the person, it was a sweet moment, because the person's like, oh, I didn't realize that's why you did it. And I'm like, I'm not asking. I literally was like, no, this is not about me. I don't deserve any praise for that. I just was obedient. Like, I think the miracle of the story is the Lord loves you so much. He wanted to bless you. And looked around for who was paying attention and said, okay, you do it. You know what I mean? I like, how awesome that you're so loved that he sends somebody from, you know, we live 6 states away from each other to be the one that carries that blessing over to you, you know? So,
and that's one of
it
those,
was just awesome.
That's one of those things where that the ability to see God working in your life,
yes,
is another blessing.
Sure. Is that
you gotta be open enough to recognize it when God has used you, or sure, and giving you that opportunity to be used by Him, which is that's an awesome thing. Just so you almost brought me to teary eyes this morning. It hasn't been that hard lately, but I was like, wow, that is really incredible,
isn't it? And I mean, that happens in so many different circumstances. Again, I gave the love life example, or, you know, of a friend in need and you go and, you know, sit with them during a hospital visit, you know, or they're doing some lab tests for cancer or whatever it is. And, you know, you're praying for that person and the Lord puts on your heart, hey, call them. That I've done a gazillion times, like reach out. Okay, you're praying for them. Great. But now I need you to call them. I need you to check on them. And it's just a really important part of being in communion with God on a regular basis.
Yeah. I just want to explain why I keep looking over in this direction. It probably looks odd the way that I'm looking over here. Wait, on Instagram, it's on a different computer. And so just in case you thought we were getting, I thought, you know, hey, does he think he's getting snuck up on? Or, you know, I know he's an ex-cop, so he must think that something's happening.
No.
But over here is a computer to my left that I have to use to look at Instagram, which is separate than all of you on YouTube and all the other social medias that are on there. So just in case it looks odd.
I'm going to skip that.
Yeah. I'm quite sure about that one.
Yeah.
Those of you on YouTube can see what that guy's person's comment is.
So Acts 11:27-29, this is about the example of the first church and how they were spurred to action in addition to praying. You want me to read it?
I got it. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters in living in Judea.
So first of all, it's a very cool example of a prophecy. So he had a prophetic vision or insight that there was going to be a famine. And so what did they do? All the members of the church got together, raised money to send to the people in Judea to make sure that they would be okay through the famine. Again, the prayers and the communion together was spurring them into action. Another example, and a lot of them have to do with giving, but not always. It could just be acts of service. And so there is a advice that maybe next time we pray, we should add to our prayer, "Oh Lord, what will you have me do?" You know, so that the Lord knows that you're willing and that you're able. I was also telling Andy that the other day we were in prayer at church, and I'm going to refer to this back again later on when we give, like, I think it's number four. But I heard during worship of a new way of witnessing to my mom. And it was, and I'm going to test it out this weekend, but it was so, it was unique. It was extremely unique. I could never have thought of it and pulled it up on my own. And so again, being in a corporal body in worship, I got a message from the Lord on how to witness to my mom.
What was that message?
It was, okay. So as you all know, as many of you know, I talked to my mom. She's not interested in hearing about Jesus. She loves Jesus. She says, you know, it's the same God. You know, she goes to the whole, it's the same God thing.
She's Muslim.
She's Muslim. It's okay. You love Jesus. I love Muhammad. We're all good. And so I keep telling her it's not the same God. She's extremely miserable. Her health is deteriorating. She keeps crying to me why she's still alive. And so my response to that question every week is, because you haven't met Jesus. And I was like, Mom, you need to meet Jesus. And so the Lord says to me, tell your mom instead to ask Jesus to heal you and ask him, why are you still here? And so there's a unique perspective that she has as a Shiite Muslim, that there are people that are holy that could pray for your shafa, your healing. And so positing it to her in that way will hopefully open her heart to be able to pray to Jesus, for one. And two, hopefully, God willing, we'll have a miraculous encounter by opening her heart. Like, I haven't been able to open her heart to the idea, period. And so the Lord inspired me that try it through the, you know, through the language of healing, and she may be more receptive.
It sounds like it
could, please pray for us.
Could be very, she's in such a place right now, I think that she would probably do that.
I'd, because of the way she practices her faith, I actually do. And I don't know why I didn't think of it myself, but of course, all glory to God. He thinks of things we don't think of.
That's good. I really like it. I think I kind of want to be there.
You're more than welcome to come. Come sit on the couch with us. Okay, so point number three.
Prayer and worship is also meant to be corporate.
So this is super important, folks. I know there's so many people, especially post-COVID, who do not attend church. And this walk of the Lord is not meant to be done alone. And so we have a couple of examples of scripture of why you don't, this Matthew 6:5, why you're not supposed to pray boastfully in other people in order to get attention. That's the first one. And then we'll go through a couple of others. Want to read that?
Yep. Matthew 6:5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full.
So, like, don't be obnoxious. Don't pray for praise. Don't try to make a spectacle out of it so that people are like, oh my God, look, she's so holy. You know, that's not what it's supposed to be about. So the advice is to make sure that we remain humble and that it's not for show. And then we have another scripture, Matthew 6:6, about praying in secret.
But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
So that's the importance of praying in private time, right? To hear from the Lord and just to be in contemplation. But Acts 2:42, and throughout scripture, the Lord makes it clear that we are part of one family. We are one body as the church. And so the early church is the best example. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So we are absolutely supposed to engage in corporal worship and prayer. And it is super important to be part of the body of Christ and to do those things together. And it's often that people have less trouble with praying in private than they do in participating in a corporal body of worship and of prayer, because it's difficult.
I like how you laid that out, because, you know, when it comes to prayer, I mean, you have to be able to talk to them just one-on-one. Kind of like when you take away your kids into the room, like I bring them into my office.
And have
this one-on-one so that there's no distractions.
Right.
You're not doing it. Like sometimes I will talk to the kids or even yell at the kids so that the other kids can see that I'm taking action because of something.
Right.
But to be one-on-one with who you love, whether it's your child or with even your mother, you want to have that one-on-one
spouse,
to where it's free of distractions and you're focused on one another. It's intimate. Thank you for that. However, church is corporate. It's supposed to be done with others. And there is that time that you need to spend with others, and even sometimes whether it's giving your testimony or simply listening to somebody else's
struggles
and things that they need help with. And then as a group, as we do in our home church,
yes,
does anybody have anything they need prayer for? And as a group, we will listen to that need. And as a group, we cry out to God and ask for his guidance or his
super important
healing hand.
Super, this Christian walk is not meant to be done alone. Iron sharpens iron. And think of that expression, iron sharpens iron. Like, why is it described that way? Because it could hurt. And I think a lot of people, you know, we excuse church hurt. We say, oh, yeah, church hurt. And we're like, okay, you're off the hook. You don't have to do the crib. No. I mean, church hurt is something that we have to learn to forgive and get past, because we can't truly be examples of Christ. We can't truly demonstrate love for one another if we don't have other people to love. It's by this they will know you, that you love one another.
It's great with our friends, Eric and Deborah, who we often sit next to on Wednesdays.
Yes.
Prior to service starting, we're able to kind of catch up and see how each one of them are doing and seeing if there's anything that we can pray for. And then the message, and then following up after the message, then we have an opportunity to talk a little bit about the message or finishing up any of our conversation.
Absolutely.
And I think that's, you know, one of the things you can do. And then on Sundays, we tend to sit next to people we don't always know and right. get to meet new people and find out, you know, if they actually need anything or prayer. That's how you met Courtney.
Yep.
And then the young dude that sits behind us who has, you know, some needs.
Yeah.
He's struggling a little bit. And it's such a good opportunity to meet people in our community.
Absolutely.
And you never know how you're going to be used in their life, whether it's something there just then, or maybe there's something you'll meet later on about.
And some of the people that even come to our home church, of course, we've met at church,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's always nice to meet. And the purpose that we use for home church is to have a more intimate setting and to get to know people, and for what purpose? To be part of the body so that people feel loved on, that you yeah. have people to turn to in your time of need, that you have people to rejoice with you, that you have somebody to celebrate with you, that you have people you could depend on.
And it even helps you and I to be a little bit more social.
Yes. Because to leave it up to me and Andy, we just sit in this house and watch TV all day. Oh, my goodness. Get us out of our comfort zone.
Yes. Oh, it's so funny.
So we have 1 Timothy 2, 7 and 8.
And for, oh, yeah.
And this is the Apostle Paul.
Okay. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I'm not lying. And a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing.
Pretty clear that corporal worship is important. And
why do you remember why the emphasis on I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying? Had to convince them.
Because a lot of them were very hard on Paul. Because he wasn't big in stature, and when he was present, he wasn't as commanding as his letters. And there was controversy even amongst the apostles on who was better. And so he was also Saul, right? He was a persecutor. Yeah. So it seems like Paul often had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because of either real or perceived hostility.
So almost saying, okay, I know you know my past.
Right.
I'm coming to you, trust
Peter, and I know you trust James, but
I'm coming to you as a new person.
Right.
And I need you to know that I'm telling you the truth. and then lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. The anger is washed away.
Yes.
And I'm here to share the holy word.
Well, and he's referring lifting up holy hands without, so not only is he not angry or disputing, but he wants us to lift up holy hands together without anger or disputing, meaning put aside your differences and come together to worship in holiness and to praise the Lord.
You know what I think right away is President Trump's speech the other night. It wasn't the State of the Union. It's called something else. I don't know. I can't think of it right now.
Oh, so is that why people keep saying it's like the State of the Union, but it's not the State of the Union? Okay.
Because it's too soon. It's just kind of give you an idea of what's been happening and what the plans are for the future. Where he says, I know these people on my right, which is the left. I know these people on the right, no matter what I say, you are not going to clap. You're not going to smile. And it reminds me of that, of the scripture. He goes, okay, listen. I'm not here to dispute with you. I'm not here to kill you. I'm here as a new man. It would be great if you would just join me in this opportunity we have to share the gospel. You need to put all that aside. Do you think
it's a message to us?
Any of them had to be walked out because they were holding a cane saying, you know, arguing with them?
Some people he kicked out and said, let Satan destroy their flesh.
Just like Jonathan.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's so reminiscent. That's the first thing I thought of.
It's a great analogy.
I'm not saying that Trump is Paul. However,
right,
it's kind of that similar. Like, yeah, we hate him. He's a horrible person. How can we ever listen to such a horrible man?
Not funny.
Joint session speech. Thank you. Is what they called it. Joint session speech.
Yeah, and it's an interesting, and I think if we read these verses in their totality, you realize that these people didn't all get along either, you know, and it's not about coming together. This is not a party. It is not like somebody invites you, like Diana inviting us for a Valentine's Day party, and you're like, oh my God, I'm so excited to hang out with those people. Oh goodness. Sorry, I keep saying, oh my God. That you hang out with people that you like and you're like, oh, they're so fun. I'm sorry, but church is not about having fun. It's supposed to be about obedience to Christ, loving one another, sacrificing for the body, growing in worship and praise. It's part of the Christian walk. It's not rainbows and unicorns.
Is it okay that I have fun at church?
Yeah, all right. Sure. But it's not like everybody could say, I don't like going to church, so therefore I'm not going. It's not one of the commandments that you could just ignore, is my point. At least not in my perspective.
I really like worship.
I love worship.
I have fun during worship.
That is beautiful. So other believers can encourage and challenge us. And this is more to my point, that it's not just rainbows and unicorns. The idea is the body of the believer will be there to uplift us and to challenge us. So there'll be people that are greater than us in knowledge. They can mentor us and disciple us. And there are people that will lift us up. And then there's other people that will also challenge our perceptions. I think I overstepped a little bit though today in Bible study. Speaking of that, we got onto the discussion. So we're in Daniel 7, and it's about the beasts in Daniel 7. Daniel talks about the four ages of civilization, the prophetic dream that the Lord gave him. And they're these very beastly creatures that are described. You know, they've got mixed tails and bear and bones in his teeth and stuff like that. And they, one of the questions in the study was, what does this remind you of, these creatures? And so I ran through this list saying, I remember Pastor Bob saying that some of our airplanes have those mouths of, you know, sharks with teeth drawn on them, that maybe at the time of the vision, they couldn't possibly imagine machinery that could look like that. And then there's AI and 3D printing and all of the technology that could distort images and creatures. And then, of course, there is the UAPs, the unidentified anomalous phenomena, which are the Nephilim, the demonic creatures. And then we got on this discussion about life on other planets and aliens. And I said, you know, that's all. And people can be deceived with that because they will think that they came down from other planets and they can perform miracles. And then the believers will be deceived. And then a couple of people in the group were like, well, I don't see, I mean, God is so vast and the universe is so vast. Why isn't there life on other planets? And I said, because God didn't tell us there's life on other planets. He says, but what does that mean, that they don't exist? And I was like, yes. And I said, if they do exist, who's their God? He says, well, it's the same God. And I said, well, how would you know it's the same God? They come down and they tell you it's the same God. Now worship me. What are you going to do? Is Jesus their Lord? Like, and then everybody looked at me like, why are you taking this so seriously? And the reason I got a little too passionate. You didn't say, I'll be honest.
You might want to look at the LDS.
Well, no, but my point was very real. I said, you know, we need to get our doctrine straight, because if you do not know what you believe, then you are at risk of falling for things that you should not. So if you believe in life on other planets, then you have to say to yourself, okay, so who's their God? Is it my God? Is it the same God? Is Jesus their Lord? Because the way the Bible describes it to us, there is heaven, there are spiritual beings, and there are physical beings. And the physical beings are here with us on this earth. And then there are the spiritual beings that are in the other layers of the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. He never mentioned life's on other planets. And once you introduce that concept, then when the Nephilim reappear and the demons reappear, because they can manifest in bodily form, as we know from scripture, you will be deceived. Because when that beast rises and tells you to worship it, then you're going to say, well, it's an alien life force from another planet. God must have sent it. Right?
Yeah. How did it end?
We moved on to the next subject because we weren't going to come to a conclusion. I let it go.
Oh, good. Good for you, Snooks.
Yes.
So 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Again, just explaining and expanding on that concept of why it is important for us to be involved in the church, so that we may share in gifts with one another, and that we may serve one another and build each other up.
Wow, for sure.
We have another one in that same section, Hebrews 10:25.
Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
This is also, people use the phrase, do not forsake the assembly of the saints. And that comes from this verse. Okay, and then we have one more. So it's and we talked briefly about this before, but Jesus gives a command of love.
John 13, 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Three sentences, three commandments, love one another. How could you do that if you're not in relationship with other believers?
Yeah.
Pretty simple. Pretty clear, right?
Yeah, I do see how my faith as a born-again Christian, as opposed to the Christian name only, has allowed me to meet people that I really like, that I would never have been friends with as the old Andy.
Absolutely. We talk about that all the time, for both of us.
Yeah, just like Nick, for instance.
Right. Well, you wouldn't be discipling him if you were not born again.
Yeah, but I really like him. Yeah.
I think that stems from the...
Yeah, that's from the faith. Thing. Yeah. Because he keeps doing things like not
that you should
like
not.
Today right. He goes, hey, be there at 10. He didn't. She wasn't there today.
You, for most people, you would have written them off.
Yeah, I would have been done. But I think a lot of people have abandoned him because of his, just not being reliable. But, you know, he's his dad, for instance. He doesn't have a relationship with his dad, who's still alive, lives in Texas. And then, I can name a whole bunch of people that I would not normally be friends with, but God has given me that ability to, you know, really like some of these people that I never would have even paid attention to before.
And you describe it as liking them, but I would like to posit it a different way. Is that it is, and maybe you do, but that the love that the Lord has given you that is coming from him through you makes you see them in a completely different way. In other words, you're not focused on their faults, you're focused on the love. They will know you by loving one another, that he's giving you that power and ability to love in a way that you otherwise wouldn't. Because in our flesh, we write people off.
Yeah.
You know, so we change the qualities that we otherwise would despise and find things we like about them because the Lord is inspiring us to love them.
Yes.
Right? So you take what's good. You're like, oh, you know what? He's really funny. I love that he's funny. So you overlook the tardiness, the irresponsibility, or whatever. You're like, because he's funny. But it's not really because he's funny. It's because the Lord has put love in your heart. Mm-hmm. Right?
And I care. I care about what happens to him.
But what I'm saying is that comes from God. Yeah.
But I hugged these people too. I mean, I there was maybe a handful of people that I hugged in my 20s and 30s and 40s. Maybe two.
Right.
But now, you know, like guys like Rob and Ron and, you know, Jim.
Yeah.
Nick. These are guys that, you know, as soon as they see that we don't shake hands, we hug each other.
Awesome.
And it's just showing affection and love for who they are. Just another man in Christ and knowing that we're flawed. Amen. And the hug is almost like, hey, I know the struggle, man. I know whatever it is that you're going through. And isn't it great that we have an amazing God that loves us. And it's that appreciation too, that we have that same thing in common.
Amen.
Yeah.
Carrie agrees, space aliens is a deception that is dangerous. So yeah. True. And the greatest gift is love. Amen. Sure yeah. Is, Carrie.
Other than Carrie and Kelly, you guys are very quiet. And yeah, we have a lot of people watching. The numbers are in. We have a lot of people watching. Oh, yeah, there are only two of you speaking.
Yeah. Where is everybody?
Hey, Bruce. Nice to see you. Bruce Jones is on.
Bruce Jones.
Yes.
Say
just
hi.
Chime in. Say hi at least and tell us where you're watching from. Especially those of you who have not commented before, because I know that there has to be some of you watching because the numbers are that big right now. So let us know that you're watching. That's new. I've talked to so many more people about the podcast than they've been. I've showed them in their phone where it's at. So yeah. If that's one of you, let us know that you're watching.
Say hi.
All right. Where are we at?
This is our last point. Our time alone with God is meant to affect our everyday lives. James 2:26.
As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead.
Exactly. So it is meant to pray. Prayer moves us along in our day. But the idea is it should impact the way we behave. It should motivate us to do things. It should get us to help our neighbors and help the poor and just to put our faith in action as followers of Jesus. It's not meant to be put in a bushel under a table. It's meant to be lived out.
So our eternity is not dependent on our works.
Right.
So what does it mean that we need to finish our deeds, or do deeds.
In other words, if you are truly saved, your life should reflect it. So it's by
wanting to do things for
exactly,
the glory of God.
Exactly. To me, the eternal security is of paramount importance. But to know you have eternal security, you should use some of these verses as a test. In other words, are you obeying God's commandments? Are you working out your salvation with fear and trembling? Do you have good deeds that demonstrate your fruit? Are you feeling the fruit of the Spirit? Are you loving one another? These are proof to ourselves that I am indeed saved. I have surety of my eternal life. That's why often Pastor Bob says to people, okay, after he finishes the sermon, he's like, so after you've heard this, are you sure? Do you know where you're going? Because if you're not sure, let's make sure. Always doing that heart check or spirit check. Okay, am I confident? Yes, I see the change in my life. And I think that's all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's make this big again. Here we go. So NRB.
Yes.
National Religious
Broadcasters.
What's one of the highlights of
one of the funnest parts for me,
right?
Was not only being interviewed, getting to talk about with the book and meeting really cool people, really amazing podcast hosts, the people from the White Rose Resistance. The director of the Resistance, Clover, he was so awesome.
Was Seth there?
Seth was not there. Clover is one of his directors. And Bob Crittenden from Salem Radio and some other folks from Salem. And I met this guy, Todd Coconato, who runs a revival church in Tennessee. And so not only getting interviewed, but getting the chance to be the interviewer. So I got to do a number of interviews for Real Life Network for Pastor Jack. And those were tons of fun.
Nice.
It was really fun to be on the other side of the questioning. It was great to hang out with the Real Life crew, getting to know them better. Dwayne and his wife, Gina, and Tom and Brian and Caroline. That was really cool. And folks from Iran Alive Ministries. So I posted her picture on Facebook, Netta. She's, about 5'1". She's a small little mighty mouse, but she's just a warrior, just listening to her stories. And, she's proving it to me with pictures on her phone of people in her house. She's baptizing people in the garage in a blow up water tank.
What?
Yeah, I mean, they're in Iran. You know, I mean, like, their lives are threatened. You know, she moved houses 12 times.
Wow.
They couldn't communicate, so they couldn't have a Bible. They would handwrite as if it was a letter, a passage of scripture, and that was all they would carry with them, so that if they were stopped, they could eat it. They would just put it in their mouths and eat it. They couldn't communicate with each other on telephones, so it would travel by word of mouth.
Wow.
It was just, it was extraordinary listening to her, and the joy of the Lord on her face and her excitement and her just, her testimony of what it means to pick up your cross and carry it, and to do so with this tremendous amount of joy. And she's now in this country, unfortunately, without her husband. His visa has not been approved yet. He's seeking asylum in the midst of this crazy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we're moratorium, we're not letting any people in, this, you know, trying to kick out illegals, and this poor guy, you know, who's been a warrior for Christ for 12 years is stuck behind thousands of other people. But God willing, they'll find a way.
Very nice. Did you ever get to spot Pastor Jack at all? Did you ever
get yeah. He was running to and fro. I got to say hello and goodbye. Got to spend some time with Lisa, which was lovely. Yeah. And Becca.
His wife.
And daughter.
They were great people.
We had awesome. So much
fun at one of the...
Election night. Yeah.
Just talking about dogs and shenanigans.
Life. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great people. You know, you know, we tend not to put people on a pedestal, but we don't, at least up to that point, I didn't know that much about his wife. You know, we saw her on announcements on occasion.
Right.
And he talked about his daughter, but I never really got to meet her. And then to finally meet them, and then they're just like us. You know, you just go, they're just like us.
Yeah.
You know, they're feeding kids and have dogs, and, you know, my dog's poop is not, okay. And then I forgot some other stories we had.
The dog was singing. We were trying to get the dog to sing.
The dog sing. And we just like, these are like friends of ours. Yeah. They're lovely. No longer this, you know,
mystical
people. They're just us that just happen to be running a church. You know,
faithful servants of the Lord.
Yeah, that's the great thing about church. It puts everybody on an even pedestal.
Yes.
You know, where we go to church and where we happen to live, we do have people that are of quite large means, and mixed with people that not, you know, and we all just sit with each other and talk. And that's the great equalizer, is God. It's meaningless.
Yeah.
Because it's harder for a rich man. What does it say? It's harder. It should just fall off the top of my head. It's harder for a rich man to get to heaven.
Than to go through the eye of a camel.
Yeah.
It's easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle than to get a rich man to heaven.
Yeah, something like that. Because who cares? You can't take any of this stuff with you. Yeah, what does it matter to me? But I do want a lot of crowns.
Definitely want a lot of crowns.
What else did you do? There was something else that you did.
Other at NRB or at cheerleading?
NRB. I thought you had some other, just been on a lot of podcasts or something like that.
Yeah, no, but I just had a really cool encounter with the guy at pray.com who prayed over me. It was just a really beautiful prayer. And I told him afterwards, I was like, you know, I was at a conference for 3 days with some really intense, amazing, extraordinary Christian evangelists. And this was the first time I prayed. Like, his prayer over me was the first person that prayed, which was so weird when you think about it. Yeah. But one thing I do say is that in all of the time that we have been married, that I've been living out in SoCal, it was the first time that nobody drank alcohol at breakfast, lunch, or dinner, at any of the meals, anywhere we went. Nobody went to a bar. You know what I mean? It was like, nobody was like, let's go hang out for drinks. And for me, that was just really refreshing.
Nobody said meet in my room for shots. Nobody said that.
No shots in room 609. No, it was really nice.
Yeah, you always look at. I remember being at a bunch of similar conferences, but not religious ones.
Right.
And it was trying to find out where the suite was where everybody was going to meet.
There were drinking that would occur.
Yeah,
right.
That's all there was. But it is so. You know what? We talk about this. Maybe way too much, because some people get upset that we bring it up, but what do we care? But it has been just such a blessing to not have that be a part of our lives. We have more opportunity to to spend time with people and remember our conversations.
Right. No, but it's helpful when other people are doing it with you. Because remember, at the inauguration, it was really difficult, right? It was because everybody was drinking. Yeah. So the wave was moving the other direction. Yeah. So it took a lot more to resist it.
For sure.
But in this crowd, it was so nice to not have to constantly be like, oh, I'm going to go to bed and on. But like that everybody was trying, was on the same page.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was just a relief for me for once, considering like literally the past 4.5 years. And I told Gina Gleason that I was eating lunch with, this is literally the first time I've sat at a table and nobody has ordered alcohol with more than 3 people.
It's awesome. I didn't see any prayer requests other than the one.
Oh.
But yes, we'll end in prayer anyway. But if anybody has one, I'll keep one eye open if one pops in the chat there.
Are we going to be able to come back on tomorrow too?
James Nutshell, nice to see you. Love you too.
Hi, James. So we tell people we'll come back on tomorrow too, Friday?
Yes.
So we can.
We'll be back tomorrow.
We'll be back.
We know you missed us.
Yeah. So we want to make sure you have enough.
Nobody said anything about our new backdrop.
Nobody said anything. Everybody's super quiet right now.
I know. They're in shock that we're back on.
Did we take too long of a hiatus?
Thought we got arrested or something? Got a divorce?
Oh, no. They didn't find either of us in a massage parlor, thank God.
It's nugs.
Well, I mean, the way it's going today, these days, oh my goodness, it's a scandal with a pastor every single week.
Oh, I just started watching the whole thing on the people that you brought up some time ago, the family.
The Joni Lamb?
Yeah, family. Oh, no. My God.
The Daystar scandal?
Yes.
Oh, what a mess that is.
Oh, my gosh. Can you Christians just stay out of trouble? What the heck? So bad. All right.
Oh, Heavenly Father, Spirit of the Living God, thank you for this time of fellowship. Thank you for giving us words that bring to life your scripture and teaching us a greater love for one another, how to draw closer to you, Lord. Thank you for the power of prayer in our lives. Thank you for turning prayer into action. Thank you for being a living God that speaks and communicates in a two-way conversation with your sons and daughters, Lord. We ask that you reach each and every person that calls out to you, Lord, whether they know you yet or not, Lord, that you will answer their prayers, that you will become their Lord and Savior, that they will draw close to you, Lord, and feel the joy of what it means to be a son and daughter. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for the cross, the power of the cross, Lord, to transform and to resurrect. We are eternally grateful that you paid the price for us to be free. We ask for blessing and healing over our friends that are suffering from illnesses. I know Corrine is suffering, especially with back pain and inability to sleep, Lord. So we ask that you bless her, that you give her rest and peace. And that Carrie is suffering from illnesses, Lord, that you give the doctors discernment and that it be nothing serious, Lord, that you restore her to complete health, whatever issues that she may be suffering from, Lord, that you are Jehovah Rapha. We ask for your healing and blessing. And over Jan and Jim, Lord, we ask for all of those that are suffering from ailments, Lord, that you heal them and you restore them. Thank you for our family. Bless all of our family and our children. For the prodigals, Lord, will you call them home? Call them back to you, Lord. And for my mom, Lord, that she will find saving faith in you through the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Carrie's very ill.
Very ill? Carrie? Oh, no. I am going to call you tomorrow and hear more about that. But definitely, I prayed for Carrie for sure.
And Paul for his son, Jared.
And wife. Oh, Lord, please bless Jared and his wife, Bree, and their first child. We know that doctors often scare us with ultrasound reports, Lord, but we ask for a clear report. We ask for perfect health for this new child, Lord, that your blessing and your hand will be upon her womb and to keep the baby safe, Lord. And a special prayer for Carrie and whatever illnesses that she's suffering from, Lord, that you will restore her to perfect health. We love you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Glad we caught you, Paul.
Yes, Paul.
You know, I'm not minimizing what the doctor may or may not be talking about, but at three of my six kids, that Kaiser scared us with those.
Yeah.
Not even diagnosis. I don't even know what you call it. To saying, you know, we see a spot on your child's heart. You may want to abort them. That was really, and then told us all the ways that we could get rid of the kid. It turned out to be nothing.
Zara had a peanut head. She was only 3 pounds, and I had to lie down and eat kebab and pomegranate until she grew to 6 pounds. But she had a very small head. It was literally like the size of a peanut.
Yeah, the what they did to us for the each time, and I think the third time I finally just got angry. I said, "Okay, we've already heard all this," and they take out a book and show you these different things and the percentages of what can happen with Down syndrome and all this nonsense.
It's horrible.
But yet it was almost always trying to push you towards abortion. Like, why are you telling us this? We're not doing anything. Why do we have to go through this?
Terrible.
And you go, well, it's mandatory. You know, the third time we just said no and didn't go in there and sit for it. But let's pray that it's nothing. Much like our kids. But we will continue to pray.
Yes.
Amen. All right, my friends, we love you guys. And appreciate you all returning, especially the numbers are so big. So thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe
some of your new friends.
Maybe Zuck has also finally lifted some of my restrictions after all this time.
Maybe. He hasn't seen some of your posts, maybe.
Yeah. All right, my friends.
Love you. See you tomorrow.
Take care. God bless.
Bye.
I thought it was